Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thank you, Doma T. By the way, speaking of sports, I went for the first time to the new Wintrust Arena to watch DePaul play last night against Providence. It wasn't a bad game. Providence owned us early, then we came back. We built a 10-point lead in the second half, and then suddenly found ourselves down 10 points. It was a pretty quick 20-point swing, and then we almost pulled it off at the end. Hit a three-pointer that got us to within three, missed a three-pointer that would have tied it in the last 60 seconds. So I think the final margin was 5 or 7, but it was closer than the final score made it look. I'm happy for DePaul and those new digs. It's really intimate. It's really nice. It's really good for them. Sorry it's not right on campus, but it's better now than where it was. And this is our first experience there. We are able to, and this is how you can do a DePaul game. You head like you're going to McCormick Place. It's on Cermak. You park in a deck and then take a skyway. You are not exposed to the elements. If you can get in your car without having to put on a winter coat, heat your car up. You'll drive to the DePaul game. You'll park in a heated deck. You'll walk, heated deck, it's a deck. It's not exposed to the elements. You'll then walk into a heated skyway, make a left turn, go down another skyway, and empty right into the arena. And then find your seat. There were not many people at the game. And I sure hope that DePaul can turn that thing around. That is, get more fans, get better players, which will get more fans. It's that vicious circle. But having a better place to play is sure going to help.
I love that court, what they do with the silhouette of the city skyline.
Yeah.
The wood is darker.
Yes,
it's
I noticed that.
At the bottom of the court.
Yeah, yeah. They got, you know, and it's, you can just feel everybody there trying, from the AD to the coach to the players to the fans to the cheerleaders to the ticket takers. They all really want to see that thing go. And they did not have 20,000 or 10,000. I'll bet, I don't know what attendance was at the game last night, but I'll bet it wasn't 5,000 people. Griff's looking at me like, I don't think it was even close to 5,000. Griff was at the game last night, too. But, Griff, do you share my enthusiasm for that venue and the hope that the program's going to really pop here pretty soon?
Sure, yeah.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Of course you do.
Sure, yeah.
I'm up all night thinking about it. No.
Well, you know, but
it was a really good time.
We have two power conferences that play in this city. The Big East and the Big Ten are two of the, you know, and I know we're the Northwestern station, and I'm all about that, but they don't need my help so much. And yet Northwestern would benefit from a lot more fans going to their games as well. And it's too bad because you're going to see Villanova's and you're going to see the Michigan States all come right through here. Hopefully the Butler game will get a big crowd. Certainly Villanova should draw when they get into town.
They announced 5,300 last night at DePaul.
There you are. I guessed the under at 5. I'm a little over. I missed it by a little bit. Hey, speaking of sports, here's how you fix the NBA. This would really help out a lot. They need to make the court wider and a little bit longer. I've noticed this lately. You've got guys that are all like 13 feet tall, and they're playing on a floor that hasn't expanded, but the arc for the three-point shot has. So sometimes guys will do a step back on a three, or they're playing on the perimeter so far away from the hoop now, they sometimes inadvertently are stepping out of bounds. I don't think we need to penalize them for that. It's not like going away from the basket is giving them any advantage, and then it just turns the ball over and stops play. It's the same thing when they're driving underneath. The guys are so long anymore that I think you ought to give them a little more room to
big
work on the baseline.
Big
feet. I mean, and sometimes it's just a fraction of an inch, and the guy wasn't doing anything wrong, really. I mean, I know he stepped out of bounds, but we could fix that. When I get to be king, the floor will be 18 inches wider on each side. And I think I might take 18 more inches on the baseline underneath the basket hoop.
So the floor is 94 feet by 50 feet. You want 96, 52?
That's what I'm dreaming of at night.
Okay.
Just a thought for the NBA. On my Facebook page, I'm King John there. You can find a list of 5 movies that we're recommending for cold weather viewing. It's a list that producer Griffin came up with last week. It's there now, and it's as germane today as it was last weekend because it's cold again, and if you're sitting inside thinking, what could I watch? There's 5 movies we think you might enjoy on Netflix. Griff's going to put up 5 more this week, and I think, Griff, is the feature great movies from 2007, or are you going to come up with some other topic?
Yeah, let's go with that. Into the top 10 movies of 2007.
According to you. And we'll post those and just give you more ideas about something to watch. Also on my Facebook page, when you scroll down from there, you'll see my fond farewell to Milt Rosenberg. And I'm not going to read from that here. I did earlier in the week. But I just wanted to quote a line from it. He was a polymath. Milt Rosenberg, the longtime host of Extension 720 here on WGN Radio, passed away this week at the age of 92, and his friend Joseph Morris described him as a polymath. How perfect is that? A polymath, I had to look it up, is a person whose expertise spans a number of different subject areas and will sometimes use that vast knowledge to solve a specific problem. About Milt's show, I said, if you didn't get what he was talking about at times or didn't care about a topic he was discussing, you could still appreciate it for what it was. He was a maestro, seemingly always on the top of his game. Anything done that well is a thing of beauty. And I remember Milt Rosenberg's shows as always being things of beauty. And I closed with, it is upon Dr. Rosenberg's thick black glasses that in part we all stand today, and from where we wish you a most cordial good night, as he would close each show. So there's that obit, if you will, on my Facebook page. But I'm thinking about obituaries because they, when done well, are great stories. And there's two others that come to mind this week. One is the story of Karen Lewis, the Chicago Teachers Union president, Karen Lewis, who's very much alive. Her obituary was accidentally published in the Sun-Times this week. I talked to the guy who did that. He said, I was working on it on my computer from, I believe, home. And he's typing, and then accidentally hits the publish button and watched before his very eyes, as he could do nothing about it, the obit go live. And while you can accidentally, you'd think there'd be more safeguards, publish instantly something on the internet for a major American newspaper, getting it off that newspaper takes more time. And so there it was for longer than anybody wanted. But Karen Lewis was cool about it. She said, I'm not dead. I thought it was hilarious. Stuff happens. She's making good on a recovery from an October stroke. In 2015, she endured treatment for brain cancer. She said she received a gracious apology about the gaffe. The first line in the obituary was, Karen Lewis was fearless. And I thought about that. This episode reminds, I think, many of us that we sometimes wonder, what would our obituary say? What would your obituary say? And if you had a peek at it now, would you agree with what it says? Would you like what it says? Would it be a reminder? I think about it this way for me, of my strengths and weaknesses, and somehow inform my future words or actions. If they said, here lies John Williams, and boy, he sure could have done a better job at this, then I'd start to try and do a better job at that. Or if they said he was really swell because he did this, I might double down on that. But I don't know what it's going to say. The mistake strikes me as a unique opportunity, doesn't it? Someday they're going to write the obituary for Sam Panionovich, and it goes, Sam Panionovich, the creator of the wildly popular podcast Chicken Dinner, who correctly predicted the outcome of the Super Bowl 32 years in a row, or something like that. And then you'd say, wow, I gotta really work on that. But if it said he never got it right, then maybe Sam would say, you know, I need to go in a new direction. But the old bit that caught my eye the most this week was one that was written in the Washington Post and republished elsewhere. And in part, it said this: on the night of July 22nd, 1995, the stars aligned for Thomas Bopp. Bopp, a 47-year-old parts manager living in Glendale, Arizona, worked for an asphalt and concrete supply company and had taken to stargazing on Saturday nights. He would travel to a remote patch of the desert with a telescope owned by his friend Jim Stevens. Bopp had been marveling at the heavens since childhood. His father would take him outside to see the Perseid meteor shower. He was still a hobbyist, but unfamiliar with the locations of many deep space galaxies and star clusters. Stevens, his friend, a telescope maker, had become something of an astronomical mentor for Bopp, and he urged his protege to step up one night to the lens and gaze at a prominent cluster of stars in the constellation Sagittarius. And a few minutes later, he said, I see something. After 11 p.m., Bob saw not just the cluster of stars, but also a little fuzzy glow. I thought I had a faint galaxy or something, he said. Rather, Bob, within minutes of another Southwest astronomer, a 37-year-old named Alan Hale, had discovered what is officially known as C1995-01, a dirty snowball of dust, rock, and ice that went on to inspire a California death cult and light up the sky for millions around the world. It was the Hale-Bopp Comet. Bopp, who received a flurry of international attention and a form of scientific immortality from the Hale-Bopp Comet that bears his name, died January 5th in Phoenix at the age of 68. Bopp had never before seen a comet until he saw that one that night. And then in 1997, 2 years later, the Hale-Bopp Comet came within 122 million miles of Earth. It sported a tail millions of miles long and landed the two of them on things like Bill Nye the Science Guy and on the ABC Evening News. They shared the title of Person of the Week. Do you remember when that comet was in the sky? I do. We went out there and saw it, and I just tried to express the wonder of it all to my sons. I said, look at that thing. It came from zillions of miles away. And it's very rare for us to just stand here and see a bright star with a long tail. That's it right there. They said, uh-huh. Hale, who was unemployed at the time, I'm telling you about Bopp, but the co-discoverer is that guy named Hale, and he himself was unemployed at the time, had a doctorate in astronomy, and had spotted dozens of comets outside his Cloudcroft, New Mexico home. But about Bopp, unaware of each other's observations, Hale and Bopp spent several minutes tracking the comet, ensuring that it wasn't a star cluster or some other object in the sky, and they then reported it to Harvard University, where you go and report these things. The two stargazers tried to use the comet as a means of enlarging public interest in astronomy, but others saw it in prophetic terms. Several dozen men and women in a cult called Heaven's Gate viewed the comet as a means of ascending to heaven, and under the direction of their leader, Marshall Applewhite, killed themselves in a mass suicide in Rancho Santa Fe, California. Bopp, whose finances were reportedly dwindling at the time the comet made its closest approach, that'd be in the spring of 1997, faced his own personal tragedy. A brother and sister-in-law were fatally struck by a car while standing in the desert photographing the very comet that bore his name. He told National Geographic, this has been the best and worst week of my life. Passed away at the age of 68 this week. And that's Thomas Bopp. It's 1024. Hey, Jim, it's John. You're on WGN. How are you?
Great. You know, the best line I've heard about somebody who wasn't dead famous responded. It was Mark Twain. He said, the reports of my death have been greatly exaggerated.
I thought about that line. In fact, you know, I actually quoted that line to Karen Lewis. I said, hey, Karen, I have this crazy idea for a conversation about, you know, what we would learn if we could see our obit in advance the way you did and Mark Twain did. Would you come on my show and we'll just connect and wish you well? She declined the offer, but that's the best line of them all, isn't it?
Right. You know, Mark Twain, just to digress for a minute, is the most amazing writer for the simple fact you could read him when you're young, go back, read the same things, and you get something totally different out of it. It's not like a book you read, and then if you went to the carnival when you're young, go back and say, man, this, I was excited about this. Mark Twain is totally the opposite. You get even more out of the book.
Yeah, what a good way to put it. Hey, Jim, thanks for the phone call. You have a good weekend.
You too.
It's 1025. We don't talk politics, at least in the first hour of this show, and I let the Mincing Rascals do it when we broadcast part of the podcast, and that will happen after 11 o'clock. But the president this week said that it would be better if we got more people from Norway There's an article out this morning that says, here's why people from Norway don't come to the United States. It's funny, it's interesting, and it's true in a minute. Speaking of politics and the spin, the Mincing Rascals after 11 o'clock, we'll talk about that commercial that Domitiva was reporting in the news. The Blagojeviches are not happy with the Bruce Rauner ad. Or the, what is it? Yeah, the Bruce Rauner ad that has J.B. Pritzker on the phone with Rod Blagojevich. They're not happy about that. And in fact, you'll hear more about that and what the gang thinks about that after 11 o'clock. Hey, from the oven to your plate, Chicago's Best is bringing you the most delicious bites on Chicago's Best Baked. That's Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. So, the president said we'd be better off if more people from Norway came here. In fact, more people leave the United States for Norway than go from Norway to the United States. Last year, 895 people from there came here, while 502 of us went there. An average of just 100 Norwegians a year moved to the United States each year. That's the average, 100. Between 2007 and 2016, anyway. And according to MSN.com, there's a number of reasons why. Here are a couple of them. Norway, with a population of just over 5 million people, was ranked as the top nation in the World Happiness Report last March. It edges out Denmark. All of those cold Scandinavian countries that are just the happiest places on earth. And I don't know that I mind cold weather as much as some people do, but that would seem to me to be such a strike against living there in terms of total happiness, that everything else must just be fan-flippin-tastic. I mean, if you're in Denmark or Norway or Sweden, it's dark there a lot. I mean, I know that when it's light longer too, but you got to be willing to endure long, dark winters, and it's going to be cold. I know they know that, but wow. And yet they're still the most happy people on earth. So then the other stuff must be really good. The country has universal health care, and it covers everyone, regardless of their income, their place of residence, or origin. In its first Human Development Index, Norway has an average annual salary. Let's see here. It is first in the Human Development Index and has an average annual salary of $68,434. It is number three overall in the World Economic Forum's Global Gender Gap Report, too. The United States, by the way, is 10th in human development, has an average annual salary of $52,000 compared to their $68,000. We rank 45th. In the gender gap, they live 2.5 years longer than we do in the United States. More folks would rather go there than come here. Thank you, Domi T. It's 10:38. The Mincing Rascals podcast broadcast comes your way after 11 o'clock. And our Vibe Score segment features producer Griffin walking us through some music, some movies, some other stories in the news. We'll all comment on them and score them as we go. So just two quick things about finances. I want you to call or text right now, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. So many companies gave $1,000 bonuses to their employees after Congress passed that tax overhaul. On average, $1,000. And it's companies that employ tens of thousands of people. Comcast, AT&T, Sinclair Broadcasting, which is trying to acquire the Tribune Company or Tribune Companies, including WGN Radio. They gave their employees $1,000 bonuses. AT&T, American Airlines, JetBlue, a lot of banks. And I'm just wondering, like, while they say that, did they really do that? Did you really get $1,000 in the mail or in addition on your check? I asked about that on the show yesterday or the day before, and we got some interesting feedback from a lot of people who said, yeah, absolutely, I got $1,000. Some people were really happy about it, and actually some people were not that happy about it. Hey, don't feel bad, John. I was complaining that we didn't get a $1,000 bonus here. I work for a nonprofit, and in 10 years I have worked there, my pay has increased over 10 years, a whopping $4,000 total. Somehow I don't think I'll be one of the $1,000 bonus recipients. But this one said, I got $1,000 in bonus from Comcast, but the tax amount on the bonus is higher than normal. It was $1,000 minus $358 in taxes. The take-home was $642. Actual numbers on my check. John, based on salary versus bonus, they withhold a lot more money from a bonus because they err on the side of thinking this is going to bump you into a higher tax rate. They withhold at a higher rate. In my wife's example, she got a $1,000 bonus, contributes 12% to the 401k. The bonus actually came to $500 that we took home. John, a salary increase of $1,000 forever. This bonus trend is a way for companies to look good without committing to a longer-term salary. This is cheap BS, $1,000 one time. No thanks, says Jerry in Aurora. Did you get a $1,000 bonus? Did you get a bonus like that? And how did that play out? I'm just kind of curious. Did you give it his check? Are you thrilled about it? Would you? A lot of people, when we talked about this week, said, I don't want a $1,000 bonus. I want $1 more an hour. That would make a difference. $1,000, we'll pay off a credit card, we'll get a TV set, whatever. But a dollar an hour would make a difference. And that's what they want. Hey, Jim, this is John. You're on WGN. How are you?
Good morning, John. The company I worked for here in Peoria was Keystone Steel and Wire, and you might be familiar with it.
Oh, sure, right on the river. I know exactly where they are.
Yeah, and we had a profit-sharing plan, and once their profits reached a certain amount, then after that, our share plan would kick in, and yeah, we'd get so much. And it was a good deal.
So you don't work there anymore, do you?
No, I'm retired from there.
No.
In fact, I really couldn't say whether they still have that, but they did when I was there.
It's kind of funny because I wonder how the steel companies are doing in the Midwest and if they're handing out bonuses right now. But once upon a time.
Well, yeah, Keystone was kind of in a class by itself because they made their own steel in the steel mill and then shipped it over to the wire mill to make wire mill products. And I think there's only one other steel mill in the country like that because there was such a meltdown, you might say, of the steel industry.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I wonder, maybe that's what the company... You know, listen, I'm all for anything that gets more money in people's pockets, and I'm wondering how this works.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim, thanks for the phone call.
You bet.
Say hi to my friends in Peoria. If you work for American Airlines, and here's the other thing, too. I've been quoting $1,000, but then some folks were cautioning me, and they said, no, people aren't getting $1,000. Some people are getting $1,000, but not everybody is. Some people are getting a fraction of that. One person said that the $1,000 bonus at his company is $200 a year, I think over the next 5 years. So I guess you'd take that, but that's not going to cost a company that much money. I guess some of this is predicated on the idea that Sam's Club and Walmart are handing their remaining employees bonuses of $1,000, and some of them will get better benefits, and some of them will get a dollar an hour increase if they're just starting at the company. They're picking up this entry-level wage, but while that will cost the company all total about $700 million, that is the equivalent of less than 2 weeks' worth of profits for Walmart. They make so much money that while they're out $700 million bonusing their employees, that's about 9 days' worth of profits at that company. It is that big. It is that profitable. One other note about money here. Call me at 312-981-7200 if you're one of those recipients. I'd like to know just how you got it and when you got it and where you got it and what you're doing with it. And what do you think about that bonus? Did you see the guy that won the Mega Millions jackpot in Florida? He's 20 years old. I hope he's listening right now. He may not be, but I hope he is. that is too much money for one person to have. And the it is not only diminishing returns, but after a certain number, your life is going to get worse rather than better, right? Like if you win $1 million, if you get $1,000, your life is better. If you get $1 million, your life is better. If you get $10 million, and I'm not sure where the number is, your life is better. But if you get $11 million, your life is not $1 million better than if you had 10. Very quickly, it now not only starts to not get better, but it actually starts to get a little worse than that peak that I just described. Now, I don't know where the peak is. Maybe it's more than $10 million, but $451 million, if you take it as a lump sum, $282 million is too much. And I guarantee you, at some point, this young man is going to wish that instead of having $282 million, he had 20. Nothing good comes from $282 million in the hands of a 20-year-old. Shane Missler of Port Richey claimed the jackpot January 5th. Says he chose to receive his winnings in a lump sum. He'll get $281,874. He said, I'm only 20, but I hope to use it to pursue a variety of passions and help my family and do some good for humanity. God bless you, sir. He bought the ticket at a 7-Eleven in Port Richey, Florida. Coincidentally, right afterwards, a bunch of ICE agents swooped in and arrested all the 7-Eleven workers there. His father and his lawyer came with him, and they released a statement on the boy's behalf. They said, if there is one thing I have learned thus far in my short time on earth, it is that those who maintain a positive mindset and stay true to themselves get rewarded. I didn't know that's how you won the lottery. If you stay true to yourself and have a positive mindset, I was very positive about my chances on this last drawing. Got nothing to show for it. I guess he was more positive. Truer to himself. He said, I look forward to the future. The money will be paid to a trust set up with Missler as the managing member. The trust the money will actually be paid to is called Secret 007 LLC. He said, although I'm young, I've had a crash course this week in financial management, and I feel so fortunate to have this incredible wealth and team behind me. I intend to take care of my family, have some fun along the way, and cement a path for financial success so that I can leave a legacy far into the future, the attorney wrote. And he said, and I wish him well, but I'm beyond nervous for him. I think that's way too much money. This is Mel. Hey, Mel, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Good morning, King John.
Hey.
You know, I'm on Social Security, and the government is so good to me about that $1,000 raise.
Yeah.
They gave me a $7 raise on my Social Security.
Hooray.
And charged me $12 more for Medicare. They're great.
So what are you going to do with the $7? Are you going to go to the mall, go to a movie?
Maybe I'll go to Walmart and buy something.
Sorry about that, man. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Have a good day. 312-981-7200. If you got the bonus, I want to know what that was like. It's 1050 on WGN. Remember now, Governor Bruce Rauner wants to get reelected as governor of Illinois. J.B. Pritzker's going to run against him, or is, run for the nomination. And so to ensure that Governor Rauner gets reelected, his campaign is running a commercial in which you hear J.B. Pritzker on a phone. This is from 10 years ago with Rod Blagojevich. And there's Blagojevich scheming and wheeling and dealing, and J.B. vying to be treasurer of Illinois, but also saying, hey, maybe I could be attorney general. It doesn't sound good to J.B., although I don't think there's anything bad in that phone call. It just looks bad. It sounds bad. The Mincing Rascals have something to say about that after 11 o'clock. Just pause for a minute, though. If I told you years and years ago, okay, Rod Blagojevich, Donald Trump, I'll make a prediction for you. One day, one of these guys is going to be in prison, and one is going to be the president of the United States. Which one would you put your marker on? Once upon a time, that you wouldn't know. That's a tough one. You might have gotten that one wrong. Where do we go, Griff? To line number... Howard. Go to Howard on 3. Hey, Howard, this is John. You're on WGN. What's up, Howard? No, I think I hit the wrong button there, didn't I? Let me try it here. Do we do it right this time? Hey, Howard, are you there? Hold on, Griff, I'll do it. Let me try it.
I can hear you.
Okay, Howard, now you're on the radio. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, John?
Good.
I was just tuned in to you. I listened about the bonuses. I got my bonus, $1,000, and after taxes, because of the tax bracket I'm in, it comes out to $660 and some pennies.
Yeah.
And I just that covers the cost of my U-Haul rental trailer to take the stuff to my house in Texas because I'm voting with my feet.
Boy, that's ironic. I'm sorry, you know, you are... Did you know that the Chicago Tribune has a hashtag they're asking people to use on social media? It's Exodus Illinois, or I think it's Illinois Exodus. They want to know why you're going. Why are you leaving Illinois?
I'm leaving Illinois for a lot of reasons, but basically I retire... This coming December, I'll be 65 and you have to retire as an airline pilot. So I'll be done. And my kids happen to live in Texas.
Yeah.
I was going to go to Tennessee, but they said, come live closer. So I bought a house on a lake in Texas. They have no state income tax there. They're solvent. The taxes on the property on the lake are about 25% less than the taxes I pay here on a house not on a lake. And I don't have Madigan and all the rest of these people taking my money, and the school district's taking my money, and so I'm leaving, and I'm fortunate I can do that.
Yeah.
I've told people for a long time I was always going to go someplace when I retired where you don't shovel the weather and your ice comes in your drinks. and that's what I'm planning on doing.
Well, we're going to miss you. They have the internet down there. Please continue to listen to WGN Radio, all right?
I will. I love you guys a lot. I'm going to miss WGN. So, anyway.
Safe travels.
Good time.
Thanks, Howard. Yeah, well, there's what he's doing with his bonus. Pilot, well, I didn't ask. I'm assuming American Airlines. Ted, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Good. Well, yeah, just real quickly, I guess I'll say, for me, my opinion, Texas is never the answer, even if you're leaving Illinois. But I did want to mention as far as the lottery.
Yeah.
Every day, I see people who can barely get out of their cars, John. You know, older people, for the most part, they can barely get out of their cars, and they pull right up to the door of the gas station to hobble in there and get their lottery tickets. And I guess my feeling has always been, you know, we should get in life what we're able to earn with our talents and our hard work. This lottery flies in the face of everybody who thinks everybody, you know, who thinks everybody else should work for what they earn. You know, suddenly here we have an opportunity for anybody to come and get this kind of money completely on luck. No skill, no talent. And it really flies in the face. So you can't really ask for an honest society, a hard-working society, when even people who maybe have been able to retire and have a good cushion for their retirement still have to hobble up to that door every day and buy their lottery tickets because it's never enough.
You know what I'd like to see is instead of somebody win $450 million, 45 people win $10 million. Would that,
well, that's a little better. No?
Yeah, I know that doesn't solve that. That's not your point. You don't want anybody to win $1 million. Ted, thanks for the phone call. From you to Gary we go. You're on WGN. Hey, Gary, what did you want to say? Hi.
What's going on, John? How are you today?
I'm good. What's up?
I just wanted to make a quick comment of all the positive publicity that all these companies are getting for their $1,000 handout bonuses.
Yeah.
I work for one of those major companies, and yes, I got my $1,000 bonus, and like everybody's stating, it's $660 after taxes. Whoop-de-doo. My company makes billions of dollars a year. And what all these outlets are failing to tell the public is, yes, AT&T, Comcast, some of these other major companies gave out bonuses, but they're not letting the public know that they also, 3 weeks prior to announcing that they were going to give out bonuses, let 300 members know that by March 1st, they're going to be without a job. And I'm tired of all of the radio stations and the TV people. Oh, it's so great. They're giving back to their employees. They're giving them $1,000. Isn't that great? But nothing's ever said about the surplus or the loss of headcount that is also taking place at the same time.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. You know, I only saw it in one article, and I mentioned it, but I think your point is well taken, that the generosity of Walmart, notwithstanding, or Sam's Club, they actually are going to come out ahead this year. With the tax break, they will get more than they're giving away. They're not upside down on this deal at all.
Same thing with the company I work for. Same exact thing. In the down, the really kicker is in a union-based company, seniority usually means, you know, everything.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when they announce these surplus of technicians, the company is picking and choosing where they want to pluck these technicians from. So you have guys who have 29 and 30 years of service with five kids at home, and they're losing their job possibly by March 1st. But yet, all of the public attention is on these bonuses.
What a good thing they're doing, yeah. Yeah. Listen, I got to run, Gary. Really good. Thanks for the call. And really tough. And listen, I've heard more than one version of that story. Scott, I got 30 seconds. If you jump in there, what did you want to respond with?
Yes, directly to the gentleman who just spoke. He's going to get $650. I got a $0 bonus. You go to work, you get paid. He's getting kicked out the door. They're leaving him with $650. Stop complaining. Some people have zero. So take your money and say, hey, thank you. You go to work. You don't go there to say, hey, what more can you give me?
That's Scott. Thanks for the phone call, guys. I'm going to pause. We'll update you on the news. The Mincing Rascals have a few things to say about that radio ad. You'll hear a clip from it. Still to come. All right, you get to pick one, Domati. Do you go with 16 and sunshine or 35 and drizzly and cloudy?
35 and drizzly.
Panionovich, 16 sunshine, 35 drizzly.
16 sunshine.
Griffin, go.
35. The sunshine is so overrated in this.
Oh, it is.
Give me the 35.
I don't know. I'm sitting in the showcase. Look, we're not shoveling outside.
You're inside.
Well, that's my point. I like the sunshine. I'm looking out. I have the benefit of sunshine in 72 right now, as opposed to mostly this is.
You're judging weather from a place with no weather. In that case, it doesn't matter what it is outside.
But that's how most of us live our lives. We mostly are able to enjoy creature comfort temperatures. To me, the vision of the sunshine versus the vision of the clouds and the dreariness. The clouds are what gets you down, not the temperature.
No, I also just prefer cloudy days anyway. So I shouldn't be counted in this, I guess.
A lot of sunballs in our future here. I'll take that. And by a week from today, we're back into the mid-40s. So hang in there for the next few days, and you will be, and we'll all be happy.
Warm and cloudy. That's how we like it.
Yeah. You know, I was actually thinking about it on, what was it? When did it get to 55 degrees? Was that Wednesday of this week? Whenever it was 55 or 56 degrees, I was thinking as I was walking to the L, opening day will probably not be as pleasant for baseball in Chicago.
It snowed. Was it this past year or 2 years ago? It was snowing on opening day.
It can be cold and bitter and just every version of bad weather. And 56, it was actually humid. It smelled earthy. It wasn't bad. I would have been much happier to sit in Wrigley Field on January 7th or whatever it was. Then on what's opening day this year, Sam? Probably.
Oh, geez, April 5th, give or take.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. It's 11:12. It's time for our broadcast of the Mincing Rascals podcast. I hope you subscribe to, listen to, and share the Mincing Rascals podcast. It's a weekly roundtable conversation we do with Scott Stantis and Kristen McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune. She writes editorials. He's the cartoonist there. And Scott's and Eric Zorn, who's a columnist, our Steve Bertrand, of course, from WGN Radio, is part of the podcast team as well. And I get to sit there and listen to how funny, smart, and sometimes disagreeable they all are. We were going from one subject to the next when Eric Zorn said, "Wait, I want to make sure we get in this one topic."
Okay, let's talk about Oprah Winfrey for a second.
Before we move into that, can we talk about these raids on 7-Eleven stores?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Around the country, because this is all sort of part of the story.
Chicago and Illinois.
And, yeah, ICE apparently raided 98 7-Elevens around the country. I think there are five or six of them in Chicago.
They didn't get that many people.
21 arrests.
Yeah, which to me is, for a national sting operation, I thought it was going to be hundreds and hundreds. What about that, Eric?
I mean, it seems like it's like the wrong focus to be putting right now on this issue.
And well, if I was going to go fishing, I'd fish at the 7-Elevens
or the Dunkin' Donuts, right?
Totally. I mean, if you think about it, it's not too hard to find people who you suspect or the might not be here legally.
The Home Depot parking lots is where.
Okay,
I mean, and there's
so
all kinds of places
that
you can go.
So what
and
is
do.
Your point about this?
I don't think we should be rounding up people like that. I think we should be when people are committing crimes, not when they're working at jobs and they're committing crimes when they're
right.
when they're
the when they're contributing.
Are, well, yeah, these are not the kind of people who are a danger to our country.
Elections have consequences. This is like the wall. It's another thing the president campaigned on, more or less. I don't remember the speech.
Well,
where
that doesn't.
He said
but that doesn't make it. That doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it a good idea.
I don't know, Steve. He promised something. This is a legal operation. Blah, blah.
But I don't think Eric is saying he's surprised by it. I think he's saying it's the wrong thing to do. Right?
Well, and that, yes. No. I think it's. Well, it should be
that
a low priority.
Has very
it should
little
be a
currency
low priority.
Right
it should
now.
Be a very low. No, you think so?
Well, yeah, because people voted for him. This is what you get. This is what you get. I mean, haven't we had this conversation 1,000 different ways?
Yeah, let's move on.
It's and the Supreme Court conversation.
I only read the headlines, so I don't feel. I agree with Eric.
All right, let's talk about Oprah Winfrey.
I'll take it, Kristen.
She said to all the girls watching here now to know that a new day is on the horizon.
I've interviewed and portrayed people who've withstood some of the ugliest things life can throw at you. But the one quality all of them seem to share is an ability to maintain hope for a brighter morning, even during our darkest nights. So I want all the girls watching here now to know that a new day is on the horizon. And when that new day finally dawns, it will be because of a lot of magnificent women, many of whom are right here in this room tonight. And some pretty phenomenal men.
Was that a political speech? And would you like to see Oprah Winfrey run for president as a Democrat?
I'd like to see someone qualified to be president run for president. I really would. I mean, I'd love to see someone who has had some governing experience, Democrat or Republican, who's run a state, who's run a city, who's had some experience in government, become the next president of the United States.
It's weird that people are clamoring for politicians instead of running away from them all of a sudden.
I associate myself with Scott's reaction.
Everybody, and you are too.
I do too. And I love Oprah, but I think I just wasn't really that inspired by her speech. I listened to it. I was waiting for it. I just wasn't. I thought it was kind of full of cliches, and maybe I'm just sick of the, you get a car, and you get, you know,
it
just
felt
her
like
whole.
That at the end.
That's a little, I don't know, like. More theater than substance.
What's the matter, Scott?
I don't love Oprah.
Yeah, I don't love Oprah
either.
She
screwed this city over. I'm sorry. She just left. I'm sorry. She
it was her job to stay.
She given what the city has given her over the years, you bet.
Scott is spurned. Feels spurned.
I would like
how
to
do you feel about LeBron
myself.
Leaving right. Cleveland, by the way, the first
that
time.
Would have ticked me off too. I would not have been happy with him coming back.
I thought he was going in a different direction. I'm not a big Oprah fan either, but I thought it was a speech for the moment. I thought it was a very good speech.
All right, Scott,
none of this.
Let me ask you a different question.
Okay.
Do you think she could win the Democratic nomination?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think she could beat the current president?
Yes.
How about you, Eric Zorin?
I would like to think that she would not win the Democratic nomination, that we have learned, as Scott said, that this is a job that is not an entry-level job.
How did we learn that? The least competent person in the history of American politics is presiding over the most robust economy we've ever seen.
And 60% of the people polled think he's doing a bad job.
Yeah, I know that, but the proof's in the pudding. For all of his stupidity, my life is not appreciably different or worse. And I'm not sure that all of his mismanagement of this country has actually produced any cataclysmic results. We're not at war with North Korea.
Not yet.
I could go down the road.
You're making my point.
Oh, really?
I'm applauding you. I get much more exercised about state and local politics and government because I think it has far more impact on our day-to-day lives.
And he hasn't screwed up the economic recovery. I'll give you that, yes. He
can I just say, as we sit here?
He gets no credit for it either, according to
Eric. I don't think he does get much credit for it.
Sam's clubs are falling all over the country as we sit here. They're closing a series of clubs, and workers are showing up. Workers are showing up to their Sam's clubs, and they're closed. They're just closed.
You know, there was an interesting story in the New York Times this past Sunday. We talked to the woman who wrote it. She's been following the jobs in Indiana plants and workers, and there is a company called Rexnord that does steel parts, and it's closing in Indianapolis. The jobs are moving to Texas, where a small, stripped-down version of it will exist at low wages, and the other jobs are going to Mexico. The point is that while a lot of companies are going to Indiana, their unemployment rate is very low, and they're getting some glitzy companies that people like Illinois would love to have. Those jobs don't pay very well, and the benefits aren't so great. Those companies, though, are lured by financial incentives and low corporate state tax rates, etc. The way to count in the new economy is not unemployment rate or your 401ks, which most people don't even have. It's how much are you earning per hour? And people in Indiana are not making that much per hour. It's a real struggle for people.
Well, this is part of this economic recovery we're talking about, is that wages are not going up a lot.
Right.
With
so what's the point? Yeah, like everybody, you know, I mean, the president can look at that, and we all do, and go, wow, unemployment is low.
Stock market is up.
You know, it's hard to find much fault with that. But talk to the people in Indiana who now are leaving the $25 an hour job, because that is moving to Mexico, and they're getting a $12 or $15 an hour job, and it's a real struggle.
Also today, 200 workers at Carrier, the Indianapolis plant that the president visited, are being given their layoff notices. So that's more than 500 workers since, I think, July.
Well, I mean, people get laid off all the time, and I mean, I wrote about all kinds of businesses in the south suburbs where people showed up, manufacturing plants where people showed up, and literally the doors were closed. It's unfortunate, but this is the free market, and you can look at the Walmart story, and we can compare it to the Sam's Club, but here you have a corporation saying it is raising its wages based on the free market, based on not having such a stranglehold on taxes, and you don't have to believe them, but Walmart also pays, you know, $20 or $25 an hour in North Dakota because there is such low unemployment that they have to pay people more. Maybe Indiana will catch up, but what is worse, having no jobs like we have here and keep holding out for companies to come here and they don't? Look at where Toyota just went. Where? Arkansas?
I'm just laughing with you, because who in their right mind
state
would
move
their company here to Illinois?
Ronner's new radio ad against J.B. Pritzker uses audio from the Rod Blagojevich tapes of days gone by. In that, we hear Blago scheming to a sympathetic Pritzker. Pritzker's asking to be treasurer. It's a hell of a thing. This is dated November 6th, 2008.
Okay, so, but what if, and I'll tell you, this could happen, because I know how Madigan is. He says, I'll give you health care, give you a capital bill. Okay? I'll balance what works with you to balance the budget the way you want to do it. I raise taxes on people. And you make Lisa the senator. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That puts me in a moral dilemma. Because of all of the prospective candidates, what dealing with her, suing us to support Bush, kicking 35,000 poor people off of health care.
Yeah, I know.
You know, all that.
Do it. You should do it. I take that
morally repugnant. I probably have to do it.
I do it. I do.
Okay, and then there's an AG I can appoint, JB.
Doing the right thing for the people.
Are you a lawyer?
Yeah.
There's an AG that I appoint.
Oh, that's it.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, there you go.
I mean, I'm not promising. I'm just saying these are all scenarios.
And then the screen says, J.B. Pritzker, a corrupt deal for Illinois. Audio is unedited.
I'm surprised that Blagojevich had that ominous music playing.
With the exception of the music. That should have been a tell. Is that ad fair? And what do you all think of that?
I think it's totally fair. I think it's so interesting, too, that this was the case Blagojevich was trying to make the whole time, and I won't go off on a tangent, but that he was trying to make a deal for the people of Illinois, and that's why he was willing to trade the seat.
Yeah.
It's damning because not only is it a discussion happening about a possible, you know, hey, you're a big donor to me, you're a big helper to me, how do you like the attorney general seat? But also, how does J.B. Pritzker have a phone line directly into the governor's living room? I mean, and if you're trying to make the case that he's any sort of an outsider or he's not business as usual, this is going to be tougher to make when he is on the phone with a sitting governor.
Oh, really? Because to me, was he not a billionaire at the time? A multimillionaire?
I mean, he was a donor. He certainly was a donor.
Well, it strikes me as not surprising that Blagojevich, of all people, would take a call from J.B. Pritzker if he's rich and giving him money.
He was calling, right, because he wanted to be named.
He was vying for treasurer. That's
treasurer.
Pritzker's on the phone going, I'd like to be treasurer. I'd be on the business side. I know that.
Do we know who placed the call?
I think J.B. did.
I think J.B. did, and I think we'll hear more.
Happens, right? I mean, if there's a window or a job opening and there's someone who's got the power to name it, you call him and say, I want
They both sound bad, but Blagojevich sounds so
well.
Freaking
Blagojevich sounds
sinister.
Terrible. I think, but...
Well, and Pritzker going, do it.
I know, but it's optics, Scott. I mean, Kristen just told us, right, that it may actually have been a good deal for Illinois. You see Blagojevich scheming and getting himself sent to jail there, but did Pritzker do anything wrong in that call?
No, I don't think he did. And I mean, it doesn't sound, I'm not saying it sounded good, but what Blagojevich is talking about here is sort of political horse trading, right? This isn't, like, this isn't, you know, give me a job somewhere in the, you know, in some foundation so that I can get out of this governorship.
Let me ask Kristen a quick question here, though. So this ad came from the Rounder people, right? This
yes.
is coming from the Rounder campaign. Why
it's
is
hard
Rounder
to tell
going,
these days.
Why is Rounder going after a guy who doesn't have the nomination yet? I mean, do they not want him to be the nominee? Do they? I mean, Kennedy's making a move. Biss seems to be making
and Kennedy's
some
running
progress.
Against Rahm Emanuel, by the way, if you're just keeping... I mean, I just think it's very interesting how they're all positioning themselves.
And Mike Madigan. He's running against Madigan, too.
Yeah, right. I know. Exactly.
I think Pritzker has done the most damage to Rauner, even in Rauner's own primary campaign, by running, you know, 6 months of terrible ads, and you have the Democratic Governors Association constantly attacking Rauner. So by Rauner taking down Pritzker, he in fact helps his own primary. And I don't know how much in danger Rauner is against Jeannie Ives, but he has to start beating down and taking away some of the credibility of the criticism against him. And so that's why he's going after.
I got to tell you, I've not talked to a single Republican in Illinois who supports Bruce Rauner yet. I mean, your experiences may be different, but right now I can tell you behind closed doors, there is no support for this guy.
Are they excited about Jeannie Ives?
There's a lot who are.
Last voice there, Scott Stanis, editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. Eric Zorn is the other Tribune voice there, the columnist. Kristen McQuarrie writes editorials for the Chicago Tribune. You heard our Steve Bertrand, too. It's a full conversation. The gang had a few things to say about the president and more topics, and that's all part of the Mincing Rascals podcast. It's free. You can get it. You can share it. You can comment. We'd love you to push it forward. It's the Mincing Rascals. One note about that. Steve Bertrand used this line in the podcast. He said that he thought Oprah Winfrey's speech at the Golden Globes last weekend was a speech for the moment. And I don't think in that rebroadcast there it got its due. I thought it was a speech for the ages. I thought that was about as well delivered, as well thought out, and as timely a set of speaking as I've ever heard. I thought it was fantastic. I really did, both for the craft that it displayed and for the message that it conveyed. I just thought she was terrific on that. And there was not a lot of love for her right there in the Mincing Rascals podcast, though. It's 11:25. This is WGN. Sam's going to do, actually, Domitee's going to do the news in just a second. But, Sam, I wondered, you're still picking NFL football games, or are you done with that each week?
The contest is over. That was a regular season contest in Vegas. But Chicken Dinner still makes picks every week. We've actually won 5 of the last 6 weeks.
Okay, but God bless you, sir. But how many people were in that Las Vegas national competition you were in?
2,800.
2,800. What place did you finish in?
1,200.
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Yeah, a little bit better than middle, but you were at
one point. I was 41st or 42nd.
And that was maybe a fourth of the way into the season. You were on a roll, and then you hit a bad patch. You're going to do that again next year?
I will, hopefully.
Yeah, you
gotta... I'm going to let Domitee make my picks next year.
Well, the only...
That is a terrible idea, by the way.
I think it is.
No, I overthink it. I told you, the hardest thing about it is I would get down to 7 games. You have to pick 5 games. I'd get to 7, and it was always tough to get those final 2 crossed off.
Yeah.
I swear, the 2 I would cross off would always win.
Every week of all of the games played, you had to pick 5.
Which I think
so
is too
confident.
Many. That's too many to pick. I never really liked 5, but that's the contest. You had to pick 5.
Okay. I'm going to talk to Domitee for a second. Domitee, I think the problem with Sam's picks, and a lot of really smart sports people run into this, is that they get too smart for their own good. They
totally
know too
agree.
Much.
Totally
they know
agree.
Too much.
I agree.
Too much knowledge. And they go, yeah, but the linebacker's left foot got injured 19 years ago. And they go, yeah, you know what? Don't do that. Just go with the...
Go with the idiots like me.
I know. I think a little of idiots like... Well, like me, Domitee, not like you, but I just think a little less of that would go a long way, don't
but
you?
But also, week one, you said, how do you pick against Houston? Because there was just a hurricane in Houston, and Houston lost by almost 50.
Wait a minute. So when the hurricane came through Houston.
Houston played, I think, Jacksonville, and you're like, you got to pick the Texans. It's bad karma if you don't. And yeah, they lost by 50.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. That was
so
bad, that was bad
everybody
advice.
Everybody has
me.
Their problems okay, picking was, games.
To be fair, that was the moral thing to do.
Yeah,
oh,
I know.
It doesn't matter if you
well
win,
put,
wins
Mr.
and
Pongo.
Losses.
I mean, sometimes you just got to lose a game, sir, and that's one you need to lose. Easy for me to say. I don't have any skin in the game.
Yikes.
Is it the numb density? Can't even look her in the eye. Where tiny men have been absorbed for questioning the sky. To when and where the stars were formed. To glance upon this night. Light years to sit upon and paint us as we lie. And to think it's us she's wasted on. Can't even look her in the eye. See, I found a new place to mourn. She asked me who died. What if there's a darker uniform? I need a place to hide.
On Saturdays, we do something we call the Vibe Score segment. That's where we ask producer Griffin to walk us through a few things that maybe we should have paid attention to, but we didn't on the pop culture scene, among other things. He always starts with a song, and that was awesome. What was that, Griff?
I didn't know what the... I had no idea what to expect from your reaction to that. That was King Cruel, a British singer-songwriter.
I saw somebody texting about him, and I was thinking of a different king. King Cruel?
King Cruel. K-R-U-L-E.
Cruel.
His real name is Archie Marshall. He's...
I love the disparity between those two. My real name's Archie.
There's more disparities to love with him. He's got that deep working-class British accent and a very deep voice.
Yeah.
And he sings with, that sort of, I don't know, very particular accent. But and his voice is so deep, but he looks like he weighs about 90 pounds. And he's got a shock of red hair. He's like 22 years old. Something. He's very young. And he looks like he's 12. And he just sings these like very morose sort of... that one's certainly downbeat. Some say depressing songs.
Is that indicative of what the album or his body of work is?
Yeah, that's called Check One.
I love that.
And that was from his last album, The Ooze. Now, I'm kind of late on this. This came out in the middle of last year, but it was coming back around on year-end lists and seeing his name pop up more and more. It was number 3 album of the year for Pitchfork last year.
Cruel.
He was on my mind.
Yeah,
and
no
I thought,
kidding.
Oh, yeah, we should go back and play.
You play that, but I want a glass of Merlot when I'm listening to that, or maybe just some whiskey. Neat. Just listening to that.
He was really up to something with this new album. I always intrigued by him. I didn't know what to make of him with his first stuff.
King, how about this, Griff? King's ranked, this is not a Vibe Score for you, but King Cruel, Kings of Leon, or King Harvest? King Harvest, the people that gave us Dancing in the Moonlight.
Oh, okay.
You don't know them, do you?
Well, I know Dancing in the Moonlight.
That's King Harvest.
Okay.
Okay, so on a scale of 1 to 100, I'm giving that song you played for us a 93.
Wow.
Into the newsroom. Doma T. Pongo, go.
I don't know. I give it a 40. It sounds like a cloudy day.
Wow.
It is. Oh, absolutely.
By the way, Doma T's come around on that. He likes sunny days now.
I do. I looked out the window, and I just felt a lot of hope and aspiration.
Look at that.
Yeah. That sun does it for me. Then you play this.
Yeah, I had to tamp it down.
King Cruel.
I couldn't let that slide.
King Cruel. How about you there, Mr. Sportsman?
I didn't like it.
Wow.
7.
Griff, can you just give us 5 more seconds of that song? Because now we've...
Do we have to?
It's awesome.
This is sort of the instrumental breakdown.
Yeah.
This could be the new Vibe Score music, though, if you want.
No, it's...
Now, the instrumental is awesome.
I like this way more.
Yeah, when he starts, that's when he goes downhill.
You say, waitress, can we get a couple more over here? For my buddies? For my peeps?
Anyway.
All right, fine. Good enough. All right, so that's that. King Cruel, says Griff. What did you give it, Griff?
I'd give it a 90 also.
Yeah, and I are digging that, huh?
I like him a lot.
Give us something else to rate.
Let's go with eating Tide Pods. Do you know about this?
No.
You don't?
Oh, God. The little detergent pods of Tide detergent.
Right.
So yeah, I'm against it. What is your point? I mean, people are getting poisoned by this. Those colorful little balls that you put in your dishwasher, kids, adults, people are eating them, sometimes on a dare with disastrous results.
It's like a viral phenomenon.
I didn't understand people that were sniffing cinnamon and about dying. This is crazy.
Well, that's what it reminded me of. That was when I was in high school. I did that, but not sniffing cinnamon. Well, I don't know. I guess people sniff, snort cinnamon. Is that a thing? I remember you take a mouthful of cinnamon.
Yeah.
And try to swallow because you can't.
That's it. Well, yeah, pardon me. But then you end up catching your breath and it gets in your lungs and people are coughing and sneezing it up. And
yeah,
it
was, I did that in high school.
Did you really?
Yeah.
And how did that go?
It was for a radio station thing.
How did that go?
Bad. I mean, I couldn't.
It was painful.
It wasn't. I think it might have been overhyped. I don't recommend people do it, but I couldn't swallow. It's true. So then, but I was like kind of trying to do it and then ended up spitting it up like into the air and it got in my eyes. But that's not really, that's just because I'm a moron.
Yeah, well, but, that was a lot of people.
Yeah, probably, maybe so.
But this new one, people are doing, cinnamon at least is appealing. People like cinnamon. Nobody wants to eat detergent.
It's not like tacit poison. Like, it's not just like 100%.
No, it's detergent.
And yeah.
I'm against it.
But do you think it's a real... I guess it's real. My reaction to it was, how many people did it before the first big news story about it, and how many people after?
Yeah, I think it has been one of these
things.
You
know what I mean?
That's right. I think this is overhyped. I think it's weird. And so now it's getting more traction than maybe it needs.
Good Morning America. It's like, oh, if I do it, maybe I'll be on Good Morning America. Or I don't know. Or like, it'll go viral.
I think that's a tough call for those news organizations. When do we decide that this is important enough, not just nutty enough, important enough that we do it? And I think they get that judgment call wrong a lot.
Yeah, right? And I was kind of curious if that was the case here. But there's no question that it is happening and people should not do
so
it.
Rob Gronkowski is a tight end for the Patriots.
Yeah.
He has partnered with Tide, and Tide put out this video yesterday that will load.
What the heck is going on, people? Use Tide Pods for washing, not eating.
Thank you, Gronk.
Yeah, I get all of my life advice from the Gronk.
Well, if even he knows not to do it.
Give us something else, Griff.
Phantom Thread is a movie in theaters this weekend.
I love this movie.
In Chicago.
Love it.
It's directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, starring Daniel Day-Lewis. It's about a fashion designer in the 50s and his the relationship with his wife, his sister. Not much more that I know yet because I'm seeing it tonight. But I couldn't be more thrilled.
Oh, you're going to love this movie.
Well, you don't know. You haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it. It is great. I'm giving it a 93. 93 is my...
What makes you think that it's great?
Because it's got Daniel Day-Lewis.
Without having seen it.
And because of the trailers. And because I really want it to be that good.
I always hate it when you do this. And not like in a jokey sort of, hey, we're on the radio, what a good bit way.
Yeah.
I really hate it.
Why? What's the damage? What's the harm?
When you say... Because I think people don't know the difference. Not everybody can log, oh, here's what John said he loved, but he actually didn't see. And here's what he said he loved, and he did see.
Right, because
it all gets jumbled the next day.
I did see Shape of Water, and that's a pretty good movie.
Why would I believe you? In what world would I think that you actually saw it?
Hey, Don Mattia, are you looking forward to seeing this dressmaking movie with Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yes. The way you put it just then made me really interested in what's going on here. Yes.
Sam's all about it, too. Panionovich, go.
50.
Yeah. Griff's...
I'm a 100.
Griff is...
I couldn't...
I'm at an 80.
Griff's off the rail about this.
100?
I'm so excited. Yeah. It's like the Super Bowl for me. I want there to be a halftime show.
By the way,
I want the Black Eyed Peas to perform at halftime of Phantom Thread. I tweeted something to that effect, and Steve Bertrand responded and said, I have no idea what this means. But that's how I feel.
Yeah, but I noticed that he liked it. He was really enthused by your tweet, but he knew it was hipper than him, but he had no idea what he was talking about.
No, I don't think he liked it. I think he thought, what are you talking about, you weirdo?
What's our vibe for the Super Bowl? Don Mattia, how much are you looking forward to the upcoming Super Bowl?
You know what? 50. Yeah. I've never been more indifferent about the Super Bowl.
I'm in that same place, Dominator. I don't know what's the matter with me. Maybe it's because teams in my division... Well, actually, the Vikings might win it all, so I got a little, you know, root and interest in this thing. Sam, what's your vibe for the Super Bowl?
82.
Where are you on Super Bowl anticipation, Griff?
Yeah, I'm low.
I'm low. I'm 61. And you know, one of the ways I discovered this week that I'm not into the Super Bowl this year is that I like it for the halftime show. I like it for the game. I like it for the snacks. And I've always really liked it for the commercials. Now, I know we're just in the playoffs yet. We don't have the break in between the playoffs and the Super Bowl. But I haven't even seen the ads yet. Normally, we're all about the commercials and how much they cost. And are they sold? $5 million a spot. Are they sold out? And there's just no buzz about the ads yet.
I think it's coming. Don't worry.
All right.
We're still a month out, right? Or how far out are we?
Let's see. It's in January, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Sam, when's the Super Bowl this year?
You guys, it's always in February.
It's always in February. Everybody knows that.
Like I said, a month out.
So NBC and Sports Illustrated have reported that this year the average 30-second spot will cost more than $5
million. $5 million. Yeah. Okay. Then we'll see how it goes. We're kind of meh right now.
Who's performing again?
JT. No. Yeah. Justin Timberlake. Right? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the national anthem is being performed by, you guys catch this?
I don't know.
Pink.
Oh, cool. Oh.
Which I'm like, is she going to be suspended while she's doing it? I'm not exactly sure.
She does those like acrobatic things. Yeah, that's cool, though.
I'm happy for her. I got no reason to not think she'll do well, but I'm...
Pink rules.
I'm not really looking forward to that like I might be if it was, I don't know, Lady Gaga or Justin Timberlake, for that matter.
Well, she can prove you wrong.
I know. I'm not doubting her ability.
I love that stadium, too. That stadium is gorgeous.
Were they playing the Super Bowl?
Minneapolis.
Has that been published? Has that been on all the papers? Everybody knows about this?
You said it 2 seconds ago.
I know I did.
I'm coming to your Super Bowl party. You're going to be listening to King Cruel eating caviar.
Yo, he should do the national anthem.
All right. You got anything else here for us, Griff?
No.
Sam has the games to watch this weekend and his picks on them in a minute. Dancing in the moonlight. Here we go. Everybody's feeling warm and bright. It's such a fine and natural sight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight. Sam, I think you like King Harvest better than King Cruel. Is that what I'm hearing?
Big time.
You
can't dance and stay uptight. It's supernatural delight.
Four NFL games remain this weekend, two today and two tomorrow. Is that right, Mr. Panionovich?
Yes, you've got Falcons-Eagles this afternoon, Titans and Patriots tonight, and then tomorrow you've got Jacksonville-Pittsburgh, New Orleans, and Minnesota.
I'm going to make time to watch one NFL game today and one tomorrow. What should I pick?
Ooh, well, I don't think the night game's going to be close. Can we do this? Can you just watch them both tomorrow?
Okay.
I think tomorrow's games are going to be really good.
Really? What do we got there again?
Jacksonville-Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
That's at noon.
Yeah.
I think Jacksonville has a chance to beat Pittsburgh outright.
How about that?
And I like then Jacksonville.
You like Minnesota?
You know, I picked the Saints to win the Super Bowl before the season.
I don't think the Vikings want to play the Saints, do you?
I don't think either team wants to play
the other one. Yeah.
Minnesota's defense, I've told you all season, I think they have the best defense in the league. But if there's one quarterback that's clicking right now, it's Drew Brees.
Patriots going to win today?
They should kill the Titans.
It's 11:56. Thank you, Sam Panionov. 11:59. Griffin Filipich produces this show. Thank you, Griff. Domi Tipango's left the booth. I believe that is that Bob Kessler
it
getting ready
Bob
in the
Kessler.
Newsroom?
I believe it is, too.
And Sam, it's always a pleasure to work with you. Amy Guth is getting ready now to do her show.
Hello.
Did we miss a King band?
You did. Kings of Convenience.
I don't know them.
Oh, they have a really fun little earworm of a song called I'd Rather Dance With You.
Wow.
It's a really fun little song.
So we have King Cruel, which was the one Griffin was playing for us.
Kings of Convenience also have there's a side project of that band.
Hold on.
Sorry.
What's happening?
It's not even worth it to... I bump with them a lot, though, is the
no
point.
Kidding. Yeah. Kings of Convenience, King Cruel.
Great band.
Yeah.
Kings of Leon and King Harvest.
And King Crimson.
King Crimson, King also, Crimson. Yeah.
King Crimson.
Not King, King Cole.
Come on, Sam.
I'm turning my mic off.
What are you doing on your show today?
Oh, boy. Well, we're going to open up talking about the changes coming to Sam.
Sam wins. Sam wins.
Thank you. Thank
Sam
you.
Sam wins.
Oh, good times. We're going to open up talking about the changes coming to Facebook news feeds because there's going to be a little bit less emphasis on brand content and a lot more on your friends and family. Like it or not.
No.
So we're going to take a look at that. And we're going to just talk about Walmart. We're going to talk about all kinds of real estate things. Lots to do today.
Amy Guth, here we go.